Good morning. Good morning and welcome this chilly day here to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad you found your way to this worshiping community. You can learn more about how we are church together. Your bulletin has announcements about our worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. Don't hesitate to ask someone around you if you have any questions. We have some announcements this morning. First is following worship, head down to Fellowship Hall, grab a cup of coffee, bring it back with you. The worship team has asked me to remind you that we will be undecorating the sanctuary following worship. So especially those parents of junior choir, junior or senior high Sunday school, it would be great if you could stay and help. It should take less than an hour, and I'm told there are donut holes, so you'll want to stay. Also happening today, junior highs, you have laser tag. There will be pizza in the fellowship hall at 12:30, and senior highs are meeting tonight at 6, and a big event happening here soon. Sam, come tell us what's happening.
So the Blue Mountain Coffee House is this Saturday night, and we still need people to sign up to perform and to donate baked goods. So the sign-ups are on the kiosk. Thank you.
Baked goods, and I know they're still looking for a few acts. Jamaica participants orientation today at 12:30. Also, if anyone has any large suitcases sitting around their house, they do need to zip. They don't have to be in great shape, but they do need to close. We will take them. We need a few more to head with us down to Jamaica this February. Also, two reminders for folks. One, there's been lots of questions about what is our protocol for weather emergencies related to everything here at church. It's very easy Monday through Friday because the school is across the street. Right? So they close, we close. Evening afternoon activities closed, we close. Sunday mornings is a bit trickier. So I am here unless there is a weather-related emergency where whoever has decided that they are declaring a state of emergency and we're supposed to stay off the roads. So as we can see from this morning, folks, if you're not able to take your chances on the roads, please don't. We're always glad that you're here, but we will worship together unless we're told that we're not allowed to go out. So glad for all those who could make it. And this morning we are celebrating Epiphany and the Sacrament of Communion. We will be celebrating communion by intinction. So we will have you tear a piece of bread. Please tear a piece large enough to be able to dip into the cup and partake together. All right, friends, let us now worship God together.
Thank you. stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. We gather in the light that was before, is now, and ever will be.
We seek the light's ancient wisdom.
We gather in the light that is God's continuing gift.
We live into the light's new wisdom.
We gather in the light that is our own emerging anew each day.
We seek to share this wisdom, nurtured in the light from Bethlehem's cradle.
Let us join our hearts together in a time of confession. Sometimes we feel lost and even consumed by darkness. We wonder if we are lovable. Our actions dim the value and worth of others and ourselves. Sometimes we feel lost in shadows of unclear choices. Which way will lead to justice, to transformation, to peace? We are afraid to risk a step out, unsure of the path. But in Christ, God has given us a new light, kindling unconditional love for us and showing us a well-lit path to wholeness and forgiveness, to courage and clarity. Thanks be to God. At this time, the children are invited to come forward.
Good morning. Good morning.
all last Sunday. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. So, is your Christmas tree down at home? Yeah. Some of you, yes. Not yet. Oh, goodness. So, I have a question for you all this morning. So, our Christmas tree is still up here at church. Can you tell me what's on the top of our Christmas tree here? What's up there? Nothing. There are pine needles sticking out. We don't have anything on the top of our tree. What's on the top of your tree at home? What do you guys have? An angel? What do you have on your tree? Oh, a star. A bow. Awesome. What's on the top of your tree, Graham? Multiple trees. How about just on one? You've just got it all then. Stars and angels. We remember the story from Christmas when the angels came and sang in the heavens, don't we? And this today, we are celebrating Epiphany. It's kind of a strange word, one we don't use a whole lot. It is the story about the star that shines in the sky. And it led, see those three people over there on the wall? See them right under the wreath? It led the three wise men to come to see baby Jesus and to give him their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so that's why on a lot of trees, we'll put a star at the top to remind us of the star that led us to baby Jesus. And I just love that we have another Sunday this morning to remember the gift of Jesus and his light and his love in our life. Will you all pray with me? Dear God, thank you for Jesus. May his light shine in our lives. Amen. All right. Thank you guys for coming up forward this morning. So, you all have Sunday school if you'd like. Okay. I'm getting lots of head nods. Yes. There we go. That works too. Thank you.
The first reading of the word is Isaiah 60:1-6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your death. Or of your dawn, I'm sorry. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." Now when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go, search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard that, the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And when they opened their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The gospel writer tells us that when they saw the star and it had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. Now, another interpretation offered by a biblical scholar suggests that seeing the star stop, the Magi were wildly happy. I love that imagery. So can you picture the last time you or someone you knew was just wildly happy? Perhaps this week you saw the video of teachers from Barnaby Elementary School rejoicing at the unexpected day off from school due to the cold. Or maybe you saw a video of a little girl receiving a puppy for Christmas. But what you didn't see was her mom being just as wildly happy. And then, I didn't see it because I was in Michigan when it happened, but apparently there were a number of wildly happy people when the Bills finally made the playoffs. So it turns out we can imagine wild happiness after all. But what I'm having difficulty imagining, though, are these stately men from afar embodying that sort of wild happiness, all because of a small light shining in the east stopped one day. And I wonder if it has something to do with how we picture this group of Magi, as Matthew calls them. When they are kings, as the carol declares, and we three kings of Orient are, the joy manifests in the giving of gifts the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, gifts suitable for the ruler of the people of Israel, foreshadowing the sort of life and death he will incur. And when they are the wise men, as another hymn sings, we admire their cunning ability to deceive Herod and find their home by another way. But if not kings or wise men, how else might we understand whom these magi to be? Today we might call them astrologers, but only if we understand that astrologers then were more like astronomers than soothsayers, more like scientists than palm readers. We might call them strangers and outsiders. They are foreigners who have come from the east, probably from the land of Persia that is now Iran. And certainly they are Gentiles, strangers, not only to Jesus' land, but also the Jewish faith tradition. Their presence at the beginning of Matthew's gospel reminds us that Jesus has been sent by God to save the entire world, just as the prophet Isaiah foretold. So no wonder some translators have given up and simply left the untranslated word magi. But I wonder where the fun is in that. Because regardless of what a student of ancient languages might tell us about the word magi, I found a translation that I found incredibly helpful this week. That these men from afar are stargazers. Because I believe that the word and description points to a deeper reality here. And it helps us to see then how we might live more like these stargazers, these magi, in our everyday lives. These stargazers, these visitors, were masters of an art and a science that helped them to look past the known world which surrounded them to an unknown world beyond. Instead of focusing just what was immediately in front of them, they focused on a distant star. Instead of seeing only the darkness of the sky, they looked for the light of a particular star that navigated their way from Mesopotamia across the northern edge of the Syrian desert down into Roman Palestine until they got to the little and not obviously distinguished city of Bethlehem. Today, of course, they would have had to navigate across checkpoints and a border wall. But then it was impressive enough that this star led them through a maze of narrow streets and stopped over one particular house. Luke, of course, tells us that it is a stable, but for Matthew, it is simply a home, just like all the others around. Now, a very careful reading of this text shows us that these travelers, these stargazers from afar, have not yet entered the house. They have not yet seen what would have been the image of an ordinary Jewish mother and the baby. Before that moment, they step in and see Mary and Jesus and kneel down and pay him homage. They stop right where the star stops. And that is when they were overwhelmed with the deep felt reality of joy. So what are we to make then of this joy that these stargazers, who knew so little about the identifiable fulfillment of God's promise, how do we, who know so much now about the life and death and resurrection of this one born a king of the Jews, with our years of accumulated church involvement and theological education, how are we to come to terms with knowing that these strangers to the faith, adherers to scientific methodology of the time, were filled with an overwhelming joy, a wild happiness, the star that it stopped? So what the Magi have to teach us, as one biblical scholar points out, is that the Magi have mastered the art of hoping in God. It's actually a saying in the book of Proverbs that the hope of the righteous is gladness. The hope of the righteous is gladness. And that led Ellen Davis to draw this connection between joy and hope. That their hope, the hope of the Magi, is gladness. That saying is just so bold. In fact, the popular translation in the NRSV changes it to something much more cautious. It says that the hope of righteousness ends in gladness. And that's very reasonable. It makes sense that the righteousness will in the end be the reward by actually getting what we hope for. But the proverb as it stands says a lot more about the people, like our Magi, that the hope, the righteousness is gladness. Already, now, in the present tense, that those who train their sights on the faithfulness of God, they already experience joy, even before they see their hopes fulfilled, even if they never live to see, in this world at least, the clear fulfillment of all that God has promised. The righteous are those who trust God so much they have learned, as the Apostle Paul says, to rejoice in hope itself. And this is the kind of joy that bursts forth that night on the streets of Roman-occupied Bethlehem. Like a single speck exploding in the sky from the outpouring of matter and energy and the dense friction of gravity pulling particles together, joy ignites in nothing more or less substantial than hope itself. And these early astronomers knew no more of how the star ignited and what the birth of this baby would mean for the world. But as stargazers, they have so much to teach us about stretching our minds and our faith beyond the confines of what we can clearly see and touch and control to a world beyond our own. That to focus the light, no matter how distant it may seem to be, rather than the darkness, is what this season of Epiphany and what being the church is all about. See, when I think about people who I know who radiate most powerfully the joy of Christ, all of them, in a sense, are these stargazers. Are those who are adept at the art of looking in the darkness and finding that one bright point of light that leads to God, and they orient their life towards it.
Stargazers are more than aware of their present circumstances. They know the darkness. They know the suffering, the injustice, grief, and loss. Stargazers know the worst of human evil. In this story, evil is exemplified by Herod, who heard about the one whose star had risen in the east, the one born king of the Jews. And Herod, he knew his days were numbered, and he was consumed by fear and greed. And he launched the most horrific of security measures imaginable: genocide. See, these stargazers have a deep understanding of the systems that generate fear, fear for others and fear for themselves. These stargazers, they are the ones who challenge us to find a way out of those systems, to not despair when they feel that the evil, the darkness is all-powerful and consuming, but to commit to the small steps by which we are called to go another way. Stargazing is all about hope, Christian hope and true hope that is far more than optimism or wishful thinking. Hope is so much more than that good feeling we naturally experience when things are going our way. Hope focuses on the light. The light of Jesus Christ, which is constant no matter what is happening around us. You know, our feelings, they ebb and flow, but hope is a way of life that we choose. And as the Magi show us, stargazing is no passive activity either. And we, as people of faith, do not merely sit and look through a telescope at the sky. Stargazing, as with the Magi journey, is a matter of going on the move and following the light wherever it leads. Who are these men, these Magi? These stargazers. May they be you and me, so that we too might find what they find. Bethlehem. Overwhelming joy. Wild happiness. So we may, like them, find ourselves ultimately going home by another way. For friends, Jesus is born. Hope lives today. And there is and always will be light. Thanks be to God. Amen. may be seated. Come, friends, all who journey in faith. Bring your lives broken and holy, for there is a place for you here. Our Savior invites all those who trust in him to share in this feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. He gave it to them. Their eyes were opened. They recognized him. May the Lord of light be with you. Our hearts are ablaze. Let us come and kneel down once more. In that first moment you spoke, radiant God, and the light of creation dispelled the thick darkness of chaos. You whispered, and your glory filled the skies. You sang, and the dust of the earth was shaped into your image as you breathed life into us. We could have lived in grace and peace with you for as long as the sun endures, for as long as the moon hangs in the night sky. But we were tempted by the sweet taste of sin and overwhelmed with temptation's wealth and cheap gifts and thrills. The prophets were sent to tell you of your gifts of joy and peace, but we listened to the world's news of success, power, and achievement. Finally, in that dark time of despair, you sent the light of your love. Some travelers once journeyed together beneath a fiery star of wonder and royal light to seek the treasures of their hearts. Kneeling in a stable, they found the gift they sought. In this Epiphany season, we also set out seeking signs of your presence, remembering how this child of Bethlehem broke bounds of oppression to pour out compassion for all. The song of our hearts longs for you. To guide us to thy perfect light. And we remember your call for our lives to reflect your light in the world. In these moments of silence and sacrament, send your spirit upon those gathered in this place, on the gifts of bread and cup. Feed us, O God, with the bread of hope, so that when we leave, we will travel another road to defend the weak, speak for the voiceless, to assist those cast aside. Refresh us with this cup of grace, so overwhelmed with joy, we would go forth to enter the house of strangers in our midst, to enter the despair of the lonely and forgotten, and to enter the hearts of everyone we meet. While we do not always understand what it means to travel a different path, we go as your disciples, learning from your life, teaching. And we remember this final meal, where bread and cup were blessed and shared with new meaning. Here is life, here is promise, you are my beloved. Here we are sharing in your story and your light. Amen. As we share this bread and cup, may we open ourselves to the strength and brightness of this love. Amen. And we do give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, brought his friends together around a similar table on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took the common bread. He made it holy, just as he takes common people, like each every one of us, and makes us holy. To remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again, did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it, so we might remember the sight and the sound. He shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new, faith you wouldn't know how to ask for, faith that will surprise you, faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." So we break this bread, and we drink this cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promise of life made new. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. And at this time, would the communion servers please come forward? We are serving communion by intinction. Come on up. There will be a station here and here at the edge of the communion table. There will be a station by the back doors, so make sure you turn around. That's where the nearest exit may be. And a reminder to tear the bread, dip the cup, to partake, and to return to your seats. Servers are making their way around. If there was anyone who was not able to come forward for communion, just give a little wave and we can bring it over to you.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for making this no ordinary meal. It has been one in which we have been fed and nourished with your life. May we go from here refreshed and eager to reflect your light in this world. Amen.
Amen. We continue our time of prayer by holding together the prayers of joy and concern of this community. If you have a prayer you'd like to share aloud, just raise your hand and usher will bring a microphone over to you. Let us know who you are and keep those prayers brief. Thank you. Maybe. There we go. See a few hands, one there and one over there.
Bridget Wohlers, I was asked this week to offer a prayer anonymously for someone who needs a liver transplant.
For that person.
I ask for prayers for my neighbor Annette. She battled uterine cancer 3 years ago and was clear, and right before Christmas went for a routine blood exam and the cancer's back. So if you could keep her and her family in your prayers. Thank you.
Most definitely. Jan Buettner, I'd ask prayers for my cousin Jenny's family, for her and her children. Her ex-husband, 47 years old, passed away quite suddenly the other day. So prayers for that family.
Prayers
thank you.
For that family.
I'm Paul, my wife Judy, and this is a prayer of thanksgiving for everyone who has reached out to us in the last few months. We've been kind of quiet, but I appreciate all the cards. We have cards from people we don't even quite frankly know, so we're very grateful for that and for your kindness and prayer, and we just ask for your continued prayer for us as we go through the difficulties of having this illness.
Continued prayers, Judy, for both you and Paul and the entire family.
Sally Christensen, I have two things. Many of you probably remember our Teddy Bear Project and Margaret Thurtle, who was the founder of the Teddy Bear Project. Well, Margaret passed away in December at the ripe old age of 101. She always wanted to make it to 105 to be on the Smucker's jar. If you Google the DNC Remarkable Rochesterians, there was a nice, they featured like 8 people who passed away this year, and Margaret was in that group, and it talks about her career at Sibley's. All that stuff you saw at Sibley's in the windows, the Christmas quarter, that was all Margaret. So, prayers of joy for Margaret's fabulous life. Prayers of concern and for healing for my mother, Natalie McTarnigan, and our own Marge Westfall. We're both recovering from the flu up at Edmontina Wilson Living Center. And for all those others who are basically shut in, those in nursing home care, kind of quarantined in groups, it's a rough go for them. So prayers for all of them, please.
Prayers for both and all those.
Christy Stewart, our daughter Sarah has been hosting a foster child for the last 11 months, and it's a story of wild happiness. Because on the Friday after Christmas, Garrett was adopted by a wonderful couple. And the story is that 20 neighborhood children were playing in the empty lot across the street from their home. And when Sarah said, "It's time to go," the kids go, "Where are you going?" And Garrett says, "I'm going to be adopted." And right after that, 20 children swarmed him, lifted him in the air, and said, "Godspeed to your new home and family." So that's wild happiness.
Wild happiness. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, Eric Vale. I have a friend of mine, Cheryl, who I've known since high school days. Just before Christmas, she lost her younger sister. And then on Christmas Eve, she lost her older brother. Mm-hmm. So please pray for Cheryl and her family. It's hard, but two family members have a short time. It's very, very difficult. Prayers for Cheryl.
And also prayers this morning, prayers for the family of Shirley McGavern. This would be Kyle and Amanda Adams and Amy and Jim Termato, their grandmother who died this week. Prayers of joy for the Hasenlapp family with Michael's celebration of receiving his Eagle Scout Award. So prayers of joy with them. Prayers for healing for Fran Henderson, who's had pneumonia, and for Dave Barrett, who recently had hip surgery. And also from our children this morning.
prayers of joy for grandparents, for Christmas presents, for new puppies, for grandma and grandpa's anniversary, for a dad who is here for Christmas. Thanks be to God. And on this Epiphany Sunday, the prayer I offer and share with you today is one that is written by Walter Brueggemann. Let us continue our time of prayer. On Epiphany Day, we are still the people walking. We are still people in the dark. The darkness looms large around us, beset as we are by fear, anxiety, brutality, violence, loss, a dozen alienations we cannot manage. We are. We could be, O God, people of your light. So we pray for the light of your glorious presence as we wait for your appearing. We pray for the light of your wondrous grace as we exhaust our coping capacity. We pray for your gift of newness that will override our weariness. We pray that we may see and know and hear and trust in your good rule. God, that we may have energy, courage, freedom to enact your rule through the demands of this day. We submit our day to you, to your rule, with deep joy and high hope. And we join these prayers together using the words your Son taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let us continue our time of light and love together as we celebrate with the gifts we have been given from God as we receive the morning offering.
his gifts reveal to us and to others the light that is Jesus. And may this light lead us on into new and challenging ways of living and serving. Amen.
For this morning, the first Noel, we're going to sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. So just the first four verses. Go forth, friends, into this world as stargazers, seeking the light in the darkness for the hope which God has promised to us all. Go. Go with the light and love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage that it takes from the Holy Spirit to go another way. Alleluia. Amen.